Գումտրեք SPS հայերենը։ Հավելյալ հետաքրքրական հաղորդումներ կգտնեք վերկայքին վրա sps.com.au/armenian.
MRI inventor Dr. Raymond Damadian is in Sydney to attend several functions and lectures. Dr. Damadian, welcome to SPS Armenian.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks, Dr. Damadian. You are visiting Australia for the launch of master degrees in medical imaging. Could you give more details about the program?
The principal part of the program that people are interested in is what has been the history and how did you develop the MRI, how did you create it, and then the other natural serious interest is what are the technologies and the benefits that MRI is making available to medicine today. So that's what we ended up discussing this morning at the meeting. At present, the chiropractors, for example, understand the power of the MRI to give them the detail that they need, but the MD community that gets really next to zero education in medical school does not understand the power of being able to do a chemical analysis of the tissue that you're treating. What is really critical here is every MD needs to know something that he doesn't know today. And that is the technology of medical imaging. How is an image made? And what does the image tell you? The medical student needs to understand what is the technology of making a medical image today. Because when I went to medical school, well, it's a long time ago, when I was done and I would be an intern and I'd be seeing a patient, I would do the examination of the patient, I'd do the physical exam, I'd do the, and when I was all done, I would say, oh yeah, and by the way, also get a picture. That is dramatically changed today because the MRI has provided images that in such extraordinary detail. When you go to a doctor today, the doctor doesn't do anything before he says, before I make any decisions, get me a picture. So that means that the medical doctor needs to understand what is the technology of making an image so he knows how to interpret the data that you get. And so the course will teach MDs how to understand how a medical image is constructed. Which sadly, the MD community today is completely ignorant of how the image is made and what it's telling you. So the significant part of this is that as a result of that, the only people who look at the images today and evaluate them are the radiologists. But that's unsatisfactory because you have to go the next step. Now you have to treat the patient, and the treating physician doesn't know anything about how the MRI is instructing him about how his treatment is working. So the people who are treating patients need to understand the details of how a medical image is constructed. So the only thing I'm saying is the medical community today is 100% ignorant of medical imaging. And that is a critical part of his treatment and diagnosis. And he has to be, when I went to medical school, I got an extensive education in biochemistry. But the medical student today doesn't get any education in imaging and what the imaging technology performs and how it achieves that.
So is this the first in Australia? What's going to happen at the Western Sydney University?
Right. Yeah, that's the first one. It's now, as far as I know, it hasn't been done anywhere, and it's critical.
In the whole world?
In the whole world, yeah. Nowhere in the world. If Australia does it, they will be the first in the world to do it. And it's critical, what I'm really saying, and let me repeat it. The MD has to understand how a medical image is constructed and what it's showing you when it's showing you the tissue. The MD community is completely ignorant of that today. Now, the CAT scan, for example, can't do it because the CAT scan doesn't do chemistry. It just shoots a radiation through the body, and if it bumps into something, it makes a picture. And then the other problem, of course, with it is it's ionizing radiation. So you can't do it frequently. You're lucky if you can do it 1 year apart. Where with the MRI, because it's completely safe, you can do the image every day. I'm exaggerating, of course. And you can look at the tumor and see whether or not the tumor is responding. The MRI allows you to do that because it's totally safe.
Some of us, we've been in an MRI machine and others not. Without going into much scientific details, what is an MRI machine and what it's used for?
All right. Well, that's a good question. The principal power of the MRI machine is it does two things. It makes pictures that are different and separate from the common pictures which are made by X-ray. So this gives pictures of the tissues of the body, particularly the vital organs like the brain, the heart, the kidney, liver, and spleen, in much more detail than was ever possible by X-ray technology, the X-ray machine, and a CAT scan machine. And then the next thing it's able to do, in addition to the pictures, it's able to, without invading the body, just with an antenna outside the body, it's able to do a chemical analysis of the tissue. So if you have a lesion that, say, is a cancerous lesion, and you want to know whether or not that cancerous lesion live within the body is being successfully treated by the regimens they're using, the MRI, because of its power to do chemistry non-invasively, gives that answer.
Just a few days ago, I was talking to a friend who wasn't much impressed about the MRI machine. She said it was too claustrophobic. Are there alternatives?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it has to do with there's a variety of companies that manufacture MRI machines. We made the original invention, and then after we made the original invention, General Electric and Siemens and Philips and Hitachi, they all made competitive machines. And then we ended up in a patent battle, and gratefully we won. But we make, the important thing is, where the person they're talking to is talking about claustrophobia, the machine that Phonar makes, our company, is dramatically different from the other machines that are made by General Electric, Siemens, Philips, and Hitachi. And the difference is that in a conventional MRI scanner, the patient lies down and goes into a tube. Our magnet made by Phonar Corporation is completely different. You walk in, you sit down, and you watch television. And claustrophobia is a non-issue in the technology of our company, Phonar Corporation.
And how much science has progressed from that first machine to the current ones you produce at Phonar?
Well, it's a continuous and a very constant dramatic advance. The most exciting thing that have been happened recently is that the MRI machine has suddenly made it possible for us to make pictures of the cerebrospinal fluid, and that's a vital physiological substance you could never see before, and it circulates from the brain to the tailbone at the rate of 32 quarts a day. And what the MRI has enabled us to discover is that the obstruction of the flow of that circulating cerebrospinal fluid is the cause of multiple sclerosis, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, and cerebral palsy, and childhood autism, and we've been able to cure people. We have images of patients with multiple sclerosis that were taken before the treatment and after the treatment when the cerebrospinal fluid was restored. And we have images showing the brain lesions in multiple sclerosis. And then after the patient was treated and the vertebra were realigned, we have the same images with all lesions gone away. And we also have the patient with Parkinson's disease, where she tells everybody that as a result of realigning the bones in the craniocervical junction, C1 and C2, that her Parkinson's was cured. I'm quoting her when she says, "I'm cured."
Dr. Damatyan, going back, What were some of the challenges you encountered when trying to invent the machine?
Oh, okay. So you're asking interesting questions. Well, I think the thing to appreciate is where that technology came from and where did it originate. And the answer is it came from a technology of the chemists called NMR spectroscopy. And what the chemical profession did was they took a magnet called an NMR magnet, and they put a small test tube in it that was maybe 10 millimeters in diameter with an antenna wrapped around the outside of the test tube. And then as a result of doing that, they got radio signals back from the atoms inside the tissue, and from that signal, they were able to perform a chemical analysis of the test tube sample. And the way I got involved in it, somebody invited me to come use it, and I said, wow, this technology is incredible. Totally without invading the sample, without going and cutting into the tube, it's able to do an analysis of the sample completely non-invasively with an antenna wrapped around the test tube. If you could ever do that in a human body with an antenna wrapped around the human body, then you could do the chemical analysis of the patient's tissues totally non-invasively, and you would spark an unprecedented revolution in medicine. So then what happened was, the immediate question I got, well, how do you know this signal that you're going to get from the body, how do you know the signal is going to be different, that you're going to get a different signal, different radio signal from cancer tissue than you got from the healthy tissue? And at the time, I didn't know that. I thought there was a good reason that the signals would be different. And then I went and did the experiments in 1970, and we republished in 1971 that the radio signals, called the NMR signal, from cancer tissue was dramatically different from the radio signals from healthy tissue. And that meant that if we went ahead and followed up our dream and tried to take this test tube analyzer and turn it into a scanner of the human body, we would be able to precipitate a big revolution in medicine. One more thing. The original discovery was made in 1970, but it was in 1977 that we were able to achieve the first MRI scan of a live human body. So it took from 1970 to 1977. Go ahead.
Did you have a team of researchers that helped you with the project?
Oh, yes. I had graduate students that were helping me do this, sure. Specifically, Michael Goldsmith was one of my graduate students, and Larry Minkoff was my other graduate student, and we built the magnet together.
Dr. Damatyan, what's the future of MRI machine? What's the future potential of the technology?
Well, the principal power of it is its ability to do a chemical analysis of the tissue that you're looking at. So what it means, for example, if you're looking at a cancer tissue and you're treating that patient with drugs, now you're in a position to measure the signal in that cancer tissue and see whether or not your drug is working. And if the drug is not working, change the drug or change the dose or change the frequency. So you suddenly have the power to chemically monitor a diseased tissue in the live human body that you could never do before.
You were born in New York. What about your parents when they migrated to America?
My father was born and raised in Kayseri, in Caesarea. Mm-hmm. And during the genocide, his brothers were older, and they learned that their brother and their mother was in this potential genocide catastrophe, and they sent people there to rescue them and get them out of Kayseri and bring them to Aleppo. And then from Aleppo, they came to America.
Let's change the subject then, talk about a totally different topic. A long time ago, I was interviewing another Armenian-American medical practitioner, Dr. Jack Kevorkian. He had strong views about religion. He called it a myth and man-made. What are your views on religion and life?
Well, for me, it's very simple. God created us all. God made us. And if you reject him, you're rejecting your life with fatality. I mean, it's a long story. I mean, it turns out to be the big debate between creation science and evolution science. And evolution is Darwin. And evolution, scientifically, is total fiction. There's no evidence for Darwinian evolution. And so the only way you can get to life itself is by God's hand, because how are you going to get a bunch of molecules to accidentally get together and create life?
Dr. Damadian, when I hear about Dr. Raymond Damadian, two images come in mind. The first is the invention of the MRI machine that has saved countless lives, and the outrage I felt years ago when you were denied the Nobel Prize. Do you believe your omission was deliberate?
Well, one of the problems I had was my competitor, who made an important contribution to MRI, Lauterbur, was telling the Nobel Committee that if I was given the Nobel to share with him, he would refuse it. So that was bothering them. And then the Nobel Committee has an aversion to the belief in God. So they didn't really want to endorse somebody who was going to talk about God's role in the sanctity of man. The policy of Sweden today, the national policy, of which they're very proud, is a survival of the fittest, Darwin's survival of the fittest. That is their policy. And that is their claim as to how they have earned whatever distinctions they have as the nation of Sweden. And I'm obviously opposite to that, because I think it all came from the good Lord.
What about new research? In what important fields you are currently doing research?
The two areas. One is what I told you, is being able to develop the MRI to monitor the response of a cancer lesion to its treatment. That's one aspect of our research. And the other aspect of our research is what we refer to as the neurodegenerative diseases. And those are multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Alzheimer's, and autism. And what we've discovered is that obstruction and interference with the flow of the cerebrospinal fluid is at the root of all these diseases. And we have cases where we repaired the obstructed flow and the diseases went away.
Dr. Damadian, thank you for the interview and your time. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Nice talking with you.
Kuzes lsel në mëmbat në qëner, unë gëntre Apple Podcasti, Google Podcasti, Spotify i vëra, gam urderen vor podcastet këllëses.